Welcome to the Drinks with Friends podcast,
where every week we bring you stories, experiences, and interesting facts on all things the spirits industry has to offer. So buckle up as we bring you spirits infused with a twist of comedy that leads you to a cocktail called adventure. It's Drink O'Clock. Let's do this.
Hey guys, welcome back to Drinks with Friends. I'm Kate, and I'm here with my co-host Samantha, who's got a little issue with her voice today, so she's gonna.
It's true. Listen, I don't sound like Samantha. I think I sound more like a Samuel right now, but
no,
you know,
you sound like you're 15. It does.
Does it sound like a pre-puberty voice?
Yeah, it does, and scratchy, so that you have a double, right?
Oh, well, I just thought I like sound like I got the funk, but not like the good kind of funk that makes you want to dance, like the funk that makes you want to get three different prescriptions. That's the kind of funk I've got
tonight. Well, guys, I'm excited about today because I feel like, you know, Drinks with Friends stepping it up a notch, and we have a big timer on today. We're sitting down with Kevin. Don't laugh, Kevin. Kevin from Blue Run. If you guys haven't heard of Blue Run, which I'm sure you all have, then you must. But Kevin, welcome to Drinks with Friends. How are you tonight?
Cheers, Kate. I'm great. Thank you both for having me. Sam, nice to virtually meet you. Thank you for doing this. You can just give thumbs up the whole time instead of responding. I don't want to make you talk, but thank you both.
It's fine. I'll talk. Yeah. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show with us, man. This is awesome.
Yeah. I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. I'm like, I've been lucky enough to, have been invited to a Blue Run event with Kevin, and they just dropped a double oaked. So I'm like, this is fucking perfect timing to talk about Blue Run. And I'm like, I've got a connection. I feel cool. So, yeah. So Kevin,
you are cool.
You are. Give us your story. What do you do for Blue Run? How did you start? Like, I'm always intrigued by people's story. Like, how did you get into spirits, let alone bourbon, let alone landing the position you're at now?
Oof. I don't know if you have time for all that. Let's see. I'll do my best to start up. But, you know, I did spend like 8 years as an ambassador, and really you just got to be long-winded to be one of those. So I can talk, but, that's sort of the origin here. So, Chicago born and raised, funny thing is I really didn't get in the service industry until I decided to go back to college. And I was like, that's how I'm going to pay my way. And oddly enough, I went across the country to Maryland. I wanted to go to University of Maryland. I wanted to be a communications major. So I'd work at local bar restaurants out there. First job at a place called Rip's Country Inn, which is exactly like what it sounds like.
Just I love it. I want to go there.
One of those old places, the collard greens were amazing, but one of those old places that has like rooms in the back of the restaurant in case you want to stay there. And you know, it was intriguing, and I just kind of paid my way, you know.
Stay there? Like, are we doing that in quotes?
Wait, time out. We're not skipping over that.
Okay. Sorry. We're perverts. Back it up a little bit.
I don't know what they did in the rooms. I never made it, but I think they really slept there. Whatever happened, I don't know. But it was just like, it was a place that...
Were there holes in the wall? Were there holes in the wall?
Not that I ever...
Oh, sorry. Not that kind of story. Wrong show.
I guess the quote for me was like, if the three of us ever saw this place, it would be a quick yeah, no. Just a hard no. Yeah. But like...
All right. Well, carry on.
I worked there, and you know, my sister had a niece while I was there. So I came home for summer break, and I was like, man, I really want to be close to these people. Obviously, I fell in love with my baby niece, wanted to spend all the time with her. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna move home for the summer. Got a really great job, actually. I started working at one of the coolest joints to ever exist in Chicago called Three Aces, and it was three awesome Italians. It was in the heart of Little Italy, but it wasn't your typical Little Italy spot. It was, they called it, Italian countryside farm to table in Keith Richards' basement. is what they call this place. Biker meetups on Sundays, but they had the best food. I learned that you have to say bruschetta, not bruschetta, and a terrific whiskey selection. Meanwhile, I would just pound Old Crow shots. And I guess that's really where my whiskey journey started. I was like, you know what? This is good stuff. I like this. If I had to pick one out of all of those on that bar, I'm picking the brown liquid that's, you know, made here in the States. That did it for me. So my career expanded. I grew. I started working in, better, higher end. I shouldn't say better, because Three Aces is still one of my favorite places I've ever worked on the planet. But high-end hotels, I really started working in those. There was a place here called the Pump Room, which, hosted Frank Sinatra back in his day, and he had a booth there. Liza Minnelli, Phil Collins wrote an article about it. I served Pacino, Walken, Dr. Dre there. So I started working there, and eventually I found my way to a place called Drum Bar, which I'm really feeling my age, because this was 2013 when I was at Drum Bar, and I talk to young bartenders today when I train, and they have no clue what I'm talking about. But
oh man,
in my day, Drum Bar was a top three whiskey bar in the nation. It was us, Cannon Bar Seattle, and Jack Rose in D.C. And we were the first three bars to ever carry SNWS whiskeys in a bar. Huh. If you're familiar with the Malt Scotch Society, I love to describe it as a group of old whimsical gentlemen who probably have handlebar mustaches, long beards, like ZZ Top with an accent. And they're picking out single barrels in Scotland and really just naming them whatever the hell they want. So the whiskeys that we carried were like Better Than Apple Pie was the name of one of them.
Oh my God.
One of them was Car and Engine Oils. So that's how I describe SNWS. I love it. And I quickly fell in love with Scotch there. But being that top bar, you know, I would sell us out of high-end whiskeys every night. Our first single cask was, what was it? It was a Buffalo Trace bottle. I believe it was Eagle Rare. We had pallets as tall as me in the basement. And this is 2013. You're not seeing that in bars so much. But so we kind of pushed that envelope. And I fell in love, and we learned a lot about education and how important it was to our careers. So I'd come in, I'd work 6 days a week and come in on the seventh to learn from somebody. You know, we'd have somebody taste us on whiskey and teach us about whiskey, teach us about cognac, teach us about scotch, tequila, champagne, you name it. And really realized that education is the foundation for what was panning out to be my career. So I moved on from there, moved onward and upward. And 2 years later, I had lunch with, not to sound too much out of left field, but I had lunch with Maurice Hennessy. I was invited because I was running a bar program at the Langham Hotel, 5-star hotel in Chicago, still currently, I believe it's still 4 or 5 stars at the moment, running their bar program, making cocktails, making cocktail menus. And I had lunch with this guy, and I was like, man, this guy's crazy. He's, you know, he's older. He's like 7th generation House Hennessy, loves Snoop Dogg. It's like this old French guy loves Snoop. I'm like, man, that's like, I like that. I'm from the South Side. I like when things don't really make that much sense. So I fell in love with it. Next thing you know, I'm literally getting scouted. I'm having these Hennessy reps come to my bar and ask me for what cognac I like without telling me they work for Hennessy. And I'm like, let me tell you, I just had lunch with this guy. I'm going to pour you Hennessy XO. It's delicious. Here's why. And they're like, we like this guy. So all of that made this crazy interview process. I didn't land me a job. It got me an interview, which was like 6 interviews long, wrapped on with people in LA, people in New York, people in Chicago, obviously. And then finally, they're like, make us a bunch of cocktails. We're going to set you up to do a demo 9 a.m. Like, you guys know I'm a bartender, right? And you want me to show up somewhere and give you my best of the best ever. So, but again, I'm a bartender. So I was like, got it. I got you. Let me do this. No problem. Yeah. So didn't sleep for a second the night before, made the drinks, got the job. Landed with Moet Hennessy, didn't realize how special that was with them being so large and how important they are to this industry, and how coveted some of those jobs are. So landed with them as their mixology ambassador, grew to the single malt specialist, lived down in Miami 2019, covered the majority of the Southeast and Midwest. I covered about 16 states. And then, the pandemic happened, right? Like that was mm-hmm. that happened like in past tense, which is crazy now. But
I know
as it was happening, I was wanting to move home, and I was again lucky enough to have been afforded an opportunity to work for another top supplier in the game, in the beverage game, of William Grant & Sons. And I became a Glenfiddich ambassador and moved back to Chicago. And, you know, so these are two huge houses, right? Like Mort Hennessy, top of the top, William Grant, top of the top. Somebody the other day just told me that William Grant is like the Harvard of brand ambassadors. And I haven't heard a true statement.
Yeah.
Like now I talk about things like when I interviewed for that job, I had to create and market my own whiskey to them. Like I made commercials. I brought them, like, you know, we paired cupcakes with whiskey, and like we did a blind tasting. And I had to jump through all these hoops. So I agree with that. Like, it's the Harvard of brand ambassadors. And if you know a William Grant & Sons ambassador, you know it's true, because they're all top notch. So worked for them for 2 years, and you know they really helped me realize my vision in this industry, which is finally I told you I was long winded. It's finally leading me to Blue Run. I wanted more. I wanted a bit more, you know, control. But I also, and to get control, you know, somebody had to take a chance on me. There's no large brands that are going to hire a brand ambassador when they've had these people who work for them in these positions for years or a decade plus. So it's always tougher to get in there. But when I was in Miami, I met a guy, Sammy Halpern, and you know, he reached out to me, and I knew why he reached out to me. I knew of Blue Run. I had heard the name Blue Run. This is about a year and a half, a year ago, probably, we'll say a year ago. And he came to Chicago. We flew in, we meet at Soho House. You know, we have a drink, we chat. And I'm like, listen, Sammy, I'm working for some of the best, dude. I don't mean to be rude to you or anything. I took this meeting because you're a good friend of mine. I care about you. He's like, let me come to a tasting. I hear what you're saying. Fine. Come to a tasting. I said, sure. He set up a tasting at the Aviary Chicago, one of the top places you could go. And it was in the office downstairs, which is super. It's such a crazy place, right? It's literally meant to be like a human cage where you're just fed this molecular gastronomy, right? And then you go downstairs and it's the best of the best bartenders. No menu, but they'll make you whatever the heck you want. Like, you don't have to know what you want, and they'll make it. They'll figure it out. So the office is a very special place that I love. And Sammy gets me down there, and I'm in a room full of, you know, it's a combination of suits, reps, buyers, some whiskey influencers, some cool people. I see some – I'm a sneaker guy. I notice sneakers in the room. So I'm like, all right, I'm liking the vibe here. Like, this, if this is Blue Run, Blue Run's got a pretty cool vibe.
Yeah.
Then we get to the – we get to the liquid and it's lights out. It's literally lights out for me. I have my girlfriend with me. I love bringing her there because, you know, again, she enjoys whiskey, but she's not the whiskey drinker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my job. So I'm telling her, I'm like, what do you think? Do you like this? Like, this is what I'm getting. Look at these notes. This is crazy. You know, Sammy busted out a 13.2 year at this tasting. And he had one called Red Hot Lollipop, which was a limited offering that they launched in 21, came and went in a month's time. And I was like, man, this liquid is just like, it's ridiculous. So then I sit down and I do my research, and you see names like Jim Rutledge. You know, I had to learn about Mike Montgomery and do my due diligence before, you know, meeting him face to face. And I was like, all right, well, Mike's a cool dude, right? Like, I like what I'm hearing when I'm reading about Mike and Jimmy Rutledge. You know, in my heart, I believe that there's three lineages that affect all American whiskeys. And there are two Jimmys. You got Jimmy Russell, Jimmy Rutledge, and you got Freddie Ngo. Mm-hmm. And it might not be direct. It could be indirect. You know, you heard something about them and you tried something, or, you know, they came out, they won with Russell's Reserve 13, and you're like, now I got to work harder. You know, in some way they've affected you, and even much, much deeper history than that.
Yeah.
And then I see Devin McKinney. And it's like, this guy's a creative director for Nike. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, there are brands out there that like to tie to things for some clout, is what the kids are saying these days, right? Yeah. I'm like, is this clout? Let me look into this Devin McKinney. You know, I had a cousin, actually, who worked in Beaverton on Nike. And I was like, I text him, like, do you know Devin? And I didn't have to say his last name. He's like, yes. Like, what do you mean? Yes, Devin McKinney. Did more research. Let's fast forward to now. I'll tell you about Devin. Devin just recently got a contract to make the Nike clothing for the upcoming Olympics. That's who Devin McKinney is. So I'm starting to see the players in this, and I'm like, these guys, this is what I want for my life. This is what I like here. Mm-hmm. Top notch. Amazing. Yeah. Blew my mind. American whiskey. I was working for single malts. This felt like a homecoming to me. Kentucky being 5 hours away from us.
Yep.
You know, I was like, that's all on the people. I was like, the people got to add up. So I went through the interview process, met Mike, met Andy, met some cool people. And I'm like, man, I really I mix with these people. Like, these are good people. I respect them. You know, this could be good.
Yeah.
So I took a chance on them and they took a chance on me. And I became the first sales team employee for Blue Run Spirits last fall.
Cool.
So last fall, as in just last year?
Just last year. And it was
that recent?
It was literally overnight.
Nice.
Sammy was in town. I left my current job and he's like, well, I'm in town. You want to meet me at this bar? And we're going to work the day. We're going to work the market together all day. I said, yes, let's do it.
Ooh. Whoa.
All right.
I mean, I want to be that cool. I really do. I do.
You're getting there.
Like, really fun story about it. But I mean, and there's no downside to it. But like, listen, everybody always says, I want to be the ambassador. I want to be this or that. There's a lot of things that go into everything we do. We burn the candle at both ends. And, you know, not to say other people don't do that. Kate, I see your coffee posts every damn morning. I know you do. I know you work long hours and hard. But we don't talk about the hard hours of work brands that we love.
Right.
We only get to talk about the good stuff.
Right.
But that's why we do this, right?
Right.
Definitely.
It is. What is your favorite current or past Blue Run expression?
Ooh, nobody's ever asked me for past because I have a current. That's the easy part. And it's weird because in every job I've ever worked, I've never committed to a favorite. It's so hard. It's so difficult.
It's so hard.
Plus, you know, working in a bar and Kate, look at your back bar. You're not going to, I mean, maybe you do have a favorite. I don't know. But you're on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you might pick three different whiskeys that have nothing to do with each other just because of the way you feel. Like, that's how it goes.
You're so right. Yep.
The one I'm going to grab most often, the bottle I go for, you both have it from you. And it made me so happy. The High Rye.
Right.
Is it the High Rye, this one right here?
Yes. So hands down, if you are a whiskey drinker, if you have more than five bottles in your home, grab a bottle of High Rye and love it.
I agree.
Now, recently, I've been drinking more on my own accord. I've been drinking more Reflection.
Ah, yeah.
I don't even know if I should be able to share with you guys, but listen, if I get fired, Kate, find me a job, please, because this is somehow your fault. Reflection One has been amazing here. Go ahead.
Was the Reflection One the one that Jamie received?
No, that was a limited offering that came out December of last year that I found some random hidden. You always hear these stories about these old dusties. We're too young to have an old dusty, but we do lose track of stuff in Kentucky sometimes, and we lost track of 10 cases. And I grabbed those right up. And that was Alpine Meadows.
That was it.
And, you know, Illinois might be seeing a few more of those bottles soon. But that was such a fun bottle. But, no, the Reflection One is our core range. It's got the silver butterfly. Mm. It's 95% proof, which is where we start. We only go up from there.
Good.
Okay. So, again, your big-time whiskey drinkers are like, give me the stronger stuff. I get it. I totally get it.
Me too.
But the flavor's there. Yep. And it's a short finish. And sometimes I'm in the mood for that. Sometimes I don't want to get so romantic with my whiskey. And that's what Reflection does for me. And I think Reflection is a hell of a gift.
Yeah.
And listen, our other core member is the Emerald. And that is such a banger of a whiskey. I don't need to tell you, I drink it every day.
It is so good. Mm-hmm. We went through the expressions at this event. And I was like, oh, wow, that's good. Next one. Wow, that's really good. Wow, I really like that high rye better. And then we got to the Emerald. All of us looked at each other, and there was, what, 10 or 12 of us there? I feel like we all looked at each other, and we're like, that's the one. It is phenomenally good. Phenomenal.
Now, is that a rye or is that a bourbon?
That is our only rye. So we've got two high ryes. We are, I don't want to say we're riding the wave. I think we're really creating, we're trying to create as our end of the wave.
Right.
High rye is a trend. We didn't, I don't say, I don't think we started it, but we like it.
Yeah.
And we like our whiskeys that way. And Jimmy likes his whiskey that way. And we love it for that reason. Now, Emerald is our only rye, and it's still a blend. It's not even a straight rye. Yeah. You know, obviously, it's 51% rye. We do malted barley in all of our skews, about 5% rye and the bourbon, which is like Jeff's kiss. And let's call a spade. A lot of people don't do that because it's more expensive. Malted barley is more expensive. Right. Who's going to clean out their stills to do, you know, all this at the same time, blah, blah, blah. So we're lucky enough to have that. But Jimmy, a fun story I want to share with you two, and I might have told you that night, Kate, because I do love this story.
You did. I love this story.
Jimmy didn't want to put this rye out, and I can only speculate as to why. I don't know why. Yeah. I could say it was his first rye. You know, maybe he was
nervous. This is the Emerald you're talking about?
The Emerald rye.
Okay. Okay.
You know, maybe he was nervous. Maybe he just didn't think it was ready. Maybe he had other things going on. I really don't know. But we were not green lit to launch Emerald. And Shay, Shaylin Gammon, who's our whiskey director, she does all of our blending for us. She joined about a month before me, and she's phenomenal. He snuck it into his samples and didn't know what it was. He gets like a, I think it's a 12 pack of 200 ml samples, and he approves them. And she'll say, you know, this is for our single barrel projects. This should be dumped in a high rye, this and that. And he'll taste through them at leisure, and we'll go from there. Now, she snuck one in, didn't tell him what it was, and he called right away, like, what is this? She's like, and I'm speculating. I don't know how the conversation went, but I think it's like, Jimmy, that's your first rye. You think we should bottle it? Then we got the green light to bottle it, bottled it and shipped it. Again, December last year. It was a big month for us, December. But this SKU, I should say, has been on fire ever since. And we're not out there. Like, I'll tell this to friends. I love telling this story with friends. But I'm not going to, like, liquor stores and telling this story, you know? Like, I'm going to liquor stores and we'll taste and this and that. But I'm not telling these stories. So whatever built this SKU up, I mean, aside from it being Jim's first ever rye whiskey, I don't know what it is, but this SKU is just crushing it in every state that I touch, at least.
It is so good.
I haven't had it. I look online. So where I live in Florida, because I live in North Central Florida, I can get two different kinds of Blue Run here. So I can get the high rye and I can just get like your straight bourbon. So for people that aren't in Illinois, we can buy this online, correct?
The Emerald is going to be at sealbucks.com. They handle all of our online sales. Check for your state, because I don't know which states they can and cannot ship to. I know there's a few they cannot. I know they've recently expanded as well. They've got a new courier, which enables them to ship to more states. So check for your state, Sealbucks. You know what I did? I had friends in other states asking, and I just emailed Sealbucks, and they sent me their whole list of who they ship to. So you're good.
Very cool.
Their service is great. They reach out to you right away. And not only do they have our core range, so like Samantha, someone like you who can't get the Emerald, go ahead and get it there. But they do a lot of our LTOs. Like, our bread and butter is DTC, direct-to-consumer sales. So my big fight, being the first sales guy, boots on the ground, is – you know, we've got some amazing Blue Run fans who love to buy our bottles online. I'm trying to fend them off just a bit so we can get more of those bottles into the liquor stores where, you know, like you shop, Samantha, and like places that, you know, have been supporting us for years and for the years that we've been around. So, you know, that's my job every day, is to try to help encourage, you know, a healthy split between online sales and, you know, sales through distribution through our distributor and retail. But it doesn't help that Forbes wrote up the article on us last year saying that we sneakerized the whiskey industry with our releases. It was a fun, amazing write-up. Thank you to Forbes for doing that. But it's what we do. We do single barrels every so often, like the one we're doing for Father's Day, the Double Oak right now. But I like to tell people, you know, we do 12 days of bourbon December 1st to the 12th, and we got a single barrel per day. I tried to get about four of those guys last year, and I missed all four. But it launched at 2 p.m.
Is that the solstice?
The solstice was in there.
It's like the solstice collection, isn't it?
Yes. And if Mike hears this, I at least got to say that for being such a hardworking employee, I was actually blessed with a bottle elsewhere, but I tried to buy them on my own. And by 2:01, my Midwest fingers, I guess, I couldn't punch it in fast enough and I missed out and I was bummed out about it.
Too slow.
That sucks. Well, I got to say, like, I've seen Blue Run probably like last year. I started seeing a lot of IG, like whiskey influencers really start posting it. And you got to say the bottle catches your eye because, you know, you have this gorgeous butterfly on here, which I read is like for a metamorphosis. It's a metamorphosis for a whiskey. It's what I read. So, but it's very eye catching. And everything.
We love our stories. Dude, that's Devin right there. That's our night.
No.
Right. And I mean, his goal was to go out there and to create something different sitting on the shelf, appeal to, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe even appeal to female consumers.
Mm-hmm. Make it more diverse.
Right. And Devin has an eye for that being in Nike. I mean, you have to, right? You can't just, they don't make Nike clothes for just men. And that'd be a huge miss.
Right.
But I think it's a combination of, yes, we want to appeal to women because we acknowledge that there are so many amazing women whiskey drinkers. Hence our, Mother's Day Emerald Rye single barrels that we did for Mother's Day.
Yes.
Which barrel should be here Wednesday this week, or my bottle should be here Wednesday this week from Mother's Day.
You getting a barrel?
In my dream. I'm speaking this into existence maybe one day. We like to appeal to women. I also, again, we are about juxtaposition, and I love the, you know, we'll play on the, we don't necessarily agree with the stigmas of whiskey, but we'll play with the people who enforce that. So let's put a butterfly on what you consider to be this super manly liquid. And if you really do like good liquid, then you can buy it. Go ahead.
Right. And it really truly stands out. Not only is it like a more stout little guy versus kind of your tall, like wine bottle looking bottles, it just simply stands out. So you're going to look at it. You just are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Genius marketing.
Well, the bottle catches your eye. This is the shape of it. Yeah. And I know, like, you know, I have this nice little iridescent butterfly on mine. Then I look at it. I'm like, oh, it's 111 proof. I'm like, all right.
That's like,
this isn't like.
Yeah, Sam, no, that's my sweet spot. The teen.
I mean, 111, that. And I mean, this one right here, you know, when I looked at this this high ride, I'm like, all right, it's got a good mix for corn, rye. So it's definitely, for 111 proof, it drinks very smooth.
Yeah, it's an easy drinker.
Like, it really does. It drinks very smooth.
It's easy.
And it has a nice finish on it. So I started drinking this before I got sick, obviously.
I'm drinking it right now. Now, who is doing your guys' distilling? And are you planning on, I know you're building this massive state-of-the-art, superstar fucking out of this world, what do you even call that? Visitor center plus warehouse? What is it?
Yeah, that building is awesome. It is.
So are you planning?
I don't know.
Is Blue Run going to move to building their own? Yeah, I don't know. It's a spaceship.
It is a spaceship. I love that. You know what? Becky Paskin, who I think is so damn amazing. You know, it was fun to follow her during the pandemic and read everything she was writing about. But the way she put it was when she saw the rendering that surfaced in March, she just said, you know, McAllen, who, God, like best of best visually, aesthetically pleasing distilleries. She said, McAllen, one of the best distilleries, Blue Run, says, here, hold my beer.
Sit down.
I read that. I might have jumped up and down. I might have jumped up and down when I read that. Coming from the world of single malt scotch, and they're such a big brand for us to be mentioned with. It's amazing. So I don't know if we have an exact name for it, but I'll tell you that, you know, this speaks volumes to who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we are building that... not in your traditional not in your traditional sense of the trail, not in your traditional sense of the bourbon trail.
Not at all.
You know, we're in Georgetown. You know, there's about two other distilleries that someone might know there, but probably not. And I don't even know if they're doing tours. I do know, because I do drive one, that there's a Toyota plant in Georgetown. But most important fact that I can share with you is that that was the birthplace of bourbon. If you believe the Elijah Craig stories,
right?
That the birthplace of bourbon.
Yeah.
So, you know, 1776 or 1776, late 1700s, you know, he moves from Virginia to Kentucky.
Right.
And he moves on to make whiskey there in Georgetown. So we want to kind of, it's kind of like, again, like a homecoming. We want to bring bourbon back to where it was
born. Oh, that's kind of sneaky. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, when is it set to, like, what is it, 2 years, 2-3 years? Is that the project to build this massive building?
Spaceship.
Yeah, so we are breaking ground at the moment,
and
2025 is when we're set to
2 years. Okay,
that's not that bad.
Extremely.
Now,
I mean, if all goes
right, you never know. So you don't have to talk about whatever, but like, who is distilling for y'all? How does that work? Are you going to do it your own? Are you going to move towards that? Are you going to stay where it's working?
Yeah. So, we currently, we're not doing anything outside the box. As far as that's concerned, we've got Jim Rutledge doing head of distilling, and he, is distilling at Castle and Key.
Cool.
So we
love distilling at Castle and Key, which, story.
You know, kind of really crazy, awesome timing, right? Like, they just started bottling themselves and their own just about a year ago, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I love Castle and Key as well. And the way I talk about it, because we make our whiskey at Castle and Key, but we bottle our whiskey at Bardstown. So when I'm telling people about it, you know, I say Castle and Key is run like a mom and pop shop. You know, they're smaller. They're quote unquote new kids on the block as far as, you know, their own whiskey and that and this and that. And then you go over to Bardstown, it's like, it might as well be run by Robot. They're still technically new, right? They're, I think, about 6 or 7 years old. They just built a new Rick House. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we were just there in March, and it's everything's shiny and new, and there's a guy there running machines, you know. And that doesn't discredit their quality. Their quality is top-notch. But that's, again, that juxtaposition that fits run so well. We play so well in that area.
Touché. That's really cool. That is cool. But I love Castle and Key anyways. Just the story and the history. So I love that the part of Blue Run is there, you know.
100%. Now we're building our own brewery. We'll be our own, but like, that will always be part of our origin story for sure.
Of course. Right. Right. Are you guys going to be down at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival this year?
Well, that was one of our really, really good news that I got recently. We've now extended. We've got a brand ambassador and a regional director down there. I imagine we will be at everything we can be. And I believe if I'm not mistaken, that's the festival that might have gotten canceled last year. Because we were due to be in one over.
I don't think it did last year. It's the big one.
Okay.
I don't know if canceled it. I don't know.
I just remember last year we were in such a tough position. We were scrambling because we don't have bodies. When I joined the team, it was me and six or seven founders. So we're like, how do we cover the whole nation? Kentucky is really, really important. We need to do all this stuff. So we had, you know, my friend Sammy covering it more than me, thankfully willing to travel and all that. But this year we have coverage. I imagine we'll be there. I don't know for certain. I can't speak for our team down there. But if it's a big festival, I imagine we're trying to be part of everything right now. We're coming full force and really trying to get our name out there.
And I think you are. I mean, considering that you're fairly new.
I mean, you guys launched in 2020?
Yeah.
So you're almost 3 years old.
October 2020, October 22, right around the time I started, we were celebrating a 2-year anniversary. So yeah, but Mike will say, and I hope he doesn't get mad at me, but based on what we're doing, we're a 2-year-old company functioning almost like a 10-year-old company. You know, without just based on, you know, keeping up with demand, but also keeping up with, you know, this category, man. This category is we're every day in whiskey, we're breaking new ground. Like this trending up right now is the longest uptrend we've had in the past, like 50 years of trends that we've seen. You know, and it's pivoting, you know, now we have, you know, American single malts and other things to play within this category too. So who knows where it's going to go. So yeah, we've got our work cut out for us, but, I agree. Thank you. I think we're doing the best we can.
You're doing great. I mean, and it's awesome. I mean, there's so many brands and there's so many, like Sam and I always say, every pour has a story, but you know, every one of our pours has a story, but every single brand has a story, and it's cool when new ones come and thrive and succeed. And mm-hmm. then the next one comes too. And I just love it. It's like a never ending barrel of fun.
Well, especially for being launched in 2020, because didn't Blue Run win some awards at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition like a year later? Like in 2021, I think they won like a whole bunch of top awards.
Yeah.
So for a company to be a year old to enter.
Funny story about that one particularly, at least the way it was told to me. So yeah, our Golden Rye, which was source liquid, by the way, you know, we make all of our own liquid for the core range currently, but the Golden Rye, when we were ready to bottle that, we sent our samples to San Francisco Spirit Awards and we hadn't bottled it yet. But we were gearing up to bottle it, you know, within a month or two, I think. And we were going to name it, I think, just straight rye, because that's, you know, just rye, whatever. And we sent our samples off to San Francisco Spirit Awards. They called us back, said, you guys got double gold. Devin, you know, our creative director's like, we're going to call it Golden Rye.
That's in 2021. That is a year after they launched.
Golden Rye.
So Golden Rye, that is awesome. That's is that still available?
You know, if I see it, I grab it, because from a distribution standpoint, I can tell you, we sold the last cases in Illinois in early Q1 this year. I want to say it was February. So if I see it on a shelf, I grab it.
Okay.
Ooh, now that I know that.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to keep my eye out for that.
Kate, I'll text you who snatched up 50 cases and our run here in Illinois. We can't promote any retailer, so I can't say that on the podcast. So I apologize.
Absolutely, I understand. But you, let me know,
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our. What's that?
I said I'll just get in my car and beep beep, head on out.
And then send some to your friend Sam.
Always
in Florida.
Those hard to find bottles for sure. I'm gonna hit you up. I need something that's not Blue Run. But speaking of the San Francisco Spirit Awards, we just won another one with Jimmy's first ever rye. Our Emerald just got gold.
Dude, I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
Very excited about it.
It was really mind-blowing. I think Lynn, you know, the whiskey gal, a lot of people know her on social media by her handle. We were sitting across from each other and sipped it, and literally, like, our eyes looked at each other like, so fucking good. It's so good. It's so good.
It's versatile. It's
awesome.
It's everything a whiskey drinker needs, I think. Yeah.
I agree.
Well, then I need to go on the hunt here in Florida. I need to find this magical beast.
Sip you a bottle.
So now you said the newest one that came out or is coming out is the double oaked, correct?
Yeah, I want to talk about that before we shut it down. Talk to us.
Of today, and guys, again, I apologize. I'll tell you everything I know, but that was part of a project that our founders did for direct-to-consumer sales. So I'm not privy to exactly how that got put together. But, you know, Kate and I both know Lewis, and he participated in that program as well as some other influencers. And it was just really cool to see some dads get involved who love whiskey. And give some tasting notes. My personal opinion about tasting notes in general is I kind of hate tasting notes because I've been in the room you know, and we can take it to wine and it's like, you know, fresh cut grass or a pool toy. And it's like, come on, man, are you really tasting that? And if you are, do we really need to talk about it? I think they're all subjective. Tasting note, it's subjective. And I've been in the room for 10 years.
Exactly. Everyone's palate's different.
Everyone. And you know what? Speaking of, like, you know, women in whiskey, I always love to point out in every tasting that I do that women have better palates than men. You just do.
This is true. We pick up a little more nuances.
Look it up. Google it if you'd like. Don't take my word for it. So I love hearing tasting notes from women in the room.
Yeah.
Like, let me hear what you're tasting. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, if I get any tea drinkers in the room, I think tea drinkers have terrific palates, in my opinion. There's a lot of subtle notes in tea that keep people drinking it. Some people will just drink whatever tea, but if you're like a solid tea drinker and you're getting some good teas, I think you got a great palate. But as far as tasting notes are concerned,
I drink sweet tea.
You got a good palate, Sam. That's basically what that means.
Sorry. My little Southern flair. I drank some sweet tea.
That's okay.
Sorry. Continue.
Love a good sweet tea. But I don't want to tell people the tasting notes in my tastings. So to have somebody else do it is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just excited about that expression. I hope I can find one, because anything double oaked right now is like my jam. Anything double oaked. Yeah. I just, that's like you were saying earlier in the episode, like you've got all these bottles behind you, but you go down and something's going to just call you that particular night. And you're right. And anything like doubled oak or toasted has been calling me. So yeah, I'm excited about that. As soon as I saw a couple of the posts come out about it, I was like, oh God, now that I am turned on to Blue Run and now I'm 100% advocate and fan of it. And then I saw the double oaked. I was like, yep, I want it. I want that. I just want it.
Knowing you, I'd say there's a 99%
double
chance.
Double so rich. Oh, she's going to find it. She's going to find it. I know she is.
Regardless, though.
And then she's going to brag and she's going to rub it in my face.
Well, again, Sam, you know, Florida double oak as well. So happy hunting. You should be able to get it. There's only
I have some good connections. Don't worry.
If not, Sam, I'll send you some a couple little dinkers. One these little guys. Thank you.
Samples. Yes. Thank you.
Think of that.
It's fine.
Think of it. I like so many samples to go. A little dinker, right? You understood what I meant. A little dinker.
Listen. You Illinois folk up there. Oh, jeez.
Listen here, Florida lady.
Listen, I'm from Connecticut. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, you are. But Kevin, her husband is from the south side of Chicago.
Yep.
Her husband.
I knew I liked you.
Cider.
But he's a Cubs fan, though, so I'm a Cubs fan.
You know, I got an uncle.
I had a Cubs pitcher.
An uncle, Tony Volpe, who babysat Chris Chelios as a kid, but he was the only one in the family who was a Cubs fan, and he's from the South Side. So like, not a small spot in my heart for you. And listen, if I can just throw this out there one time, I don't hate the Cubs. And I don't think any of us hate the Cubs. It's the fans that are tough.
Yeah. I hope not.
It's true. It's just such a, it's
that's
a,
like, you can say that with any sport, though. I mean, I'm a college fan. Obviously, I love the Gators. My Gators baseball team just made it to the Super Regionals. So you can say there's bad fans everywhere, but I think Cubs fans are very loyal. Yeah. They are ride or die. I've been with my husband for a long time, and the Cubs have had some horrible seasons.
So are Sox fans.
And he has been there.
Yeah, but you can get shot in the parking lot, and we're still going to that game.
Well, but here's the thing. We're still Bears fans. So no matter what, we're all still Bears fans.
Deal.
This is our year.
This is our right. Sorry.
Listen, you'll be
I don't think that okay.
I guarantee you we take one from the Packers, if not two, we're gonna have a year. We're gonna have a year this year.
Okay. I look forward to it then.
Well, okay. Let's see. How the offense does. Let's see how our quarterback does.
I just, you know, it's kind of fun to watch and not depressing snack. To watch like the White Sox right now, even though I'm still loyal. Anyways. Well,
we just had a walk-off grand on Sunday.
I know we did, but before that, horrendousness.
Yeah.
Anyways, Kevin, we're going to let Sam go rest her voice.
Listen, I, I think I sound pretty hot right now.
I had laryngitis 2 weeks ago. And Lynn said the same thing to me. She's like, your voice sounds sexy. I'm like, I sound like a fucking man, Lynn.
I know. Well, it's maybe I'm going to take a little shot of some whiskey before I go to bed. And I'll mix it with my cough medicine.
Sorry, that was probably so fucking loud.
No, I won't do that. I won't do that. But yes, no, thank you for coming on the show, because Blue Run has been something. It's been, when I found this bottle, like, I was so excited. I took pictures. I sent it to everyone because I couldn't believe I found it. And it has lived up to the hype. I mean, I've only had one bottle, but this has lived up to the hype. So I'm excited to try as much as I can get my hands on it.
Same. I'm with you, Sam. It lives up to the hype, because you would see it on the shelf and be like, ooh, that's a higher price point. And this is a new bourbon. Yeah, come on now. And you take a sip of it and you don't even realize it's new. You don't give a fuck what it costs. It's really phenomenal. And I'm in a couple bourbon groups and people ask, have you guys tried this or that? And on the Blue Run, they're taking a picture at like a liquor store shelf. And I always chime in. I'm like, yes, yes, and yes. And do it yesterday. Huge believer, huge fan after, especially I was invited and got to sip through. They're just doing great things. And Kevin, you're doing great, you know, with them and for them. And I just can't wait to see how much more that y'all just grow and change and what else comes out of Blue Run. I can't wait. So.
Honestly, the only thing I'll say is.
On that note, man.
Because we have so much coming right now. We have so much going on. Double Oak was one beautiful limited bottling, but a lot of fun offerings coming this year. Really fun
There's
stuff.
There's more to look for.
I'm ready for it all. I'm ready for it. Well, thank you again, Kevin. You know, as other fun stuff comes out, we'll have you back on. Why not? And talk more about, I don't know, we could talk about absolute nonsense or sports.
Well, no. What we can do, we can actually review some of them, so we get some more coming out, and I won't be sick. We can actually review them, so I'm down for that.
I was drinking tonight. Y'all were drinking water. It's okay.
Listen, I don't want to die, okay?
I'm proud of you. All right, guys.
No seizures.
We are going to sign out.
That's what it is.
We always say, no seizures. Every pour has a story, and if you drink Blue Run, you're going to have lots of fun stories. Just saying. Sign out. Right. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, right. Sam.
Thanks, buddy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, later. Everybody.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Drinks with Friends.
Make sure to give us a review so others can find the show. And remember, every pour has a story.